Now the Jews' feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was at hand, and many went up out of the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking therefore for Jesus, and kept saying among themselves, while standing in the temple, "What do you think? That he will not come at all to the feast?" For the chief priests and the Pharisees had issued a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should make it known, that they might arrest him. So Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died and whom he had raised from the dead. There at Bethany they made him a supper therefore, in the home of Simon the leper, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary therefore, taking an alabaster flask of costly ointment, a pound of pure nard, came up to him as he reclined at the table and, breaking the flask, poured it over his head, and she anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the aroma of the ointment. But when his disciples saw this, some became indignant and said within themselves, "For what is this waste of the ointment? For this could have been sold for much money, and given to the poor." So they began to rebuke her. And Judas Iscariot, who was going to betray him, said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 denaries and given to the poor?" But he said this, not that he was concerned for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money hag, and kept taking what was put therein. Then Jesus, aware of all this, said to them, "Let her alone. Why are you troubling the woman? For she performed a good work toward me, she has kept it for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always and can do them good whenever you will, but me you do not have always. She was doing what she could, for in pouring this ointment on my body she came beforehand to anoint my body for my burial. Verily, say to you, wherever in all the world this glad news is proclaimed, what this woman has done will also be told of as a memorial of her." A great number of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not only because of Jesus but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests took counsel how they might kill Lazarus also, since because of him a great many Jews were going away and believing upon Jesus. And it came to pass the next day, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the mountain called Olivet, then Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village that is opposite you, and immediately on entering it you will find an ass tied, and a colt tied with her on which no one ever yet sat. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, if anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of them,' and he will send them here at once." So those who were sent went on their way and did as Jesus had commanded them, and found a young ass just as he had told them, tied outside the door in the street, and they untied it. And the owners of it, who were standing there, said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had commanded, "The Lord has need of it," and they let them go. So they brought the ass and the colt to Jesus, and throwing their garments on them, they set Jesus upon the colt. Now as he proceeded, they began to spread their garments on the road, and as he was already drawing near, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who is coming in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, and glory in the highest." And a great throng who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, cut branches from the palm trees and went out to meet him, and strewed them on the road. And the crowds who went before him, and those who followed, kept crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel! Blessed is the kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" Now all this was done that there might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, fear not. Behold, your king is coming to you. Meek, and mounted upon ass, even a colt, the foal of an ass." These things his disciples understood not at first, but when Jesus was glorified they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason also the people went and met him, because of hearing that he had wrought this miraculous sign. And some of the Pharisees from the multitude said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you, if these should be silent the stones would cry out." And when he drew near and beheld the city, he wept over it, saying, "If only you, yes you, had known at least in this your day, the things that would bring you peace. But now are they hid from your eyes. For days shall come upon you when your enemies will cast up a rampart about you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and will level you to the ground with your children within you, leaving in you not one stone upon another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. And upon his entering Jerusalem the entire city was aroused, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is Jesus the prophet, from Nazareth of Galilee. The Pharisees said therefore to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing, lo, the world has gone after him. And Jesus entered into the temple, and when he had looked around on everything, as the hour was already late he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next morning, as he was returning to the city from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing at a distance by the roadside a certain fig tree that had leaves, he went to it to see if he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And Jesus answered and said to it, Let there be no fruit from you hereafter, no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it, and the fig tree dried up at once. Then came they into Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple of God and began to drive out all those who were selling and buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry a vessel through the temple, and he began to teach, saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called for all the nations a house of prayer? But you have made it a den of robbers. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and kept on seeking how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were struck with wonder at his teaching. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he was doing, with the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became incensed and said to him, Do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and when evening came he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Now as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree, dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. And the disciples on seeing it marveled and said, How did the fig tree dry up immediately? Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. For verily, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but whoever shall say to this mountain, Be removed, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart but believes that what he says will come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, all things whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing that you are receiving, they shall be yours. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your offenses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your offenses. But the Pharisees, when they heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, gathered themselves together, and one of them who was a lawyer of the scribes, having heard these disputations and perceiving that he had answered them well, came up and asked him a test question, saying, Teacher, which commandment in the law is the great one? What is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There is no greater commandment than these. And the scribe said to him, Teacher, you have well said the truth, that there is one God and none other but he, and that to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And Jesus, seeing that he answered him with wisdom, said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. But while the Pharisees were assembled together and Jesus was teaching in the temple, he put to them a question, saying, What do you think concerning the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, The son of David. But he said to them, How can the scribes say that the Messiah is David's son? How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit in the book of Psalms, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Therefore David himself is calling him Lord, so how is he then his son? And no one could answer him a word, nor from that day dared anyone to ask him another question. And the great crowd of common folk listened to him gladly. So by day he was in the temple teaching, though going out and spending the night on the mountain that is called Olivet. Now all the people kept corning to him early in the morning in the temple to hear him. Then said Jesus to his disciples in his teaching, in the hearing of all the multitude, "Take heed, beware of the scribes, who like to walk about in long robes, and who love the places of honor at the feasts and the foremost seats in the synagogues, who devour the houses of widows, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive a greater condemnation. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All the things therefore which they tell you to observe, these observe and do. But do not copy the way they live, for they do not do what they say. For they bind up burdens that are heavy and hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of men, but they will not move them with one finger of their own. And all of their deeds are they doing that they may be seen by men. They make broad their phylacteries and widen the fringes on their garments, and they love salutations in the marketplaces and being called Rabbi, Rabbi, by men. Now do not you be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you yourselves are all brethren. And call not anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, the Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself will be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you yourselves do not enter in, nor even let those who are entering go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he has been won, you make him twice as much a son of Gehenna as yourselves. Woe to you, you blind guides who say, "If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he must make good his oath." You are fools and blind, for which is the greater, the gold, or the temple which hallows the gold? You also say, "If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he must make good his oath." You are fools and blind, for which is the greater, the gift, or the altar which hallows the gift? He therefore who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything thereon, and he who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who is dwelling therein, and he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who is sitting thereon. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithes of mint and dill and cumin, but have ignored the weightier things of the law, justice, and mercy, and fidelity. These ought you to have done, while yet not leaving those undone, you blind guides, who strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but within they are filled with extortion and sensuality. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and the dish, that their outside also may become clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed sepulchres, which appear indeed outwardly beautiful, but within are full of dead men's bones and all sorts of filth. Thus you, too, indeed appear outwardly to men to be righteous, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and beautify the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, "Had we lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have partaken with them in the killing of the prophets." Thus you witness concerning yourselves that you are sons of the murderers of the prophets, so fill up the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape being sentenced to Gehenna? Because of this, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of these you will kill and crucify, and some you will scourge in your synagogues and will persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood poured out on the earth from the blood of the righteous Abel till the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily, I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem! Killing the prophets and stoning those who have been sent to you. How often would I have gathered together your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For verily, I say to you, you shall see me no more till you shall say, Blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord. And Jesus sat down across from the treasury, and he beheld how the people were dropping money into the chest and many who were rich were putting in much. But looking up, he also saw a certain poor widow placing therein two tiny copper coins which make less than a cent. And he called to him his disciples and said to them, Of a truth, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who contributed to the treasury. For they all contributed out of their abundance into the offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in everything she had, even her whole livelihood. Now there were certain Greeks among those coming up to worship at the feast, these therefore approached Philip, the one from Bethsaida of Galilee, and made request, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, verily, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life shall lose it, but he who hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if anyone serves me, him will the Father honor. Now has my soul been troubled, and what shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? No, because of this came I to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. There came therefore a voice from heaven, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. The multitude therefore who stood by and heard it, said that it had thundered, others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, Not for my sake has this voice come, but for your sakes. Now is the condemnation of this world, now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Now this he said to signify by what death he would die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that the Messiah remains forever, how then do you say that the Son of Man must he lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said therefore to them, Yet a little longer is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you, for he who walks in darkness knows not where he is going. While you have the light, put your trust in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things said Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. But although he had wrought so many signs in their presence, they did not believe upon him, that there might be fulfilled the word of the prophet Isaiah, which he uttered. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?